Good evening and welcome to the October 11th, 2006 Board of Directors meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. If you would all please, let's do a roll call. Roll call, please.
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Mann?
Here.
Director Hill?
Here.
Vice President Bookout?
Here.
President Dahl?
Wishing to address the board on any item not on the agenda may do so at this time. Is there any public comment? Please.
Hi. My name is Lisa Wright. I live on Darien Place in Oceano. I'm very nervous. It took rats to get me up here to do public speaking. It's something I don't do. I live within 100 feet of the Tacken project that's being called Avocado Ranch. Recently, they've taken all the avocado trees off of that property, and we now have rats from those trees. So far, we have caught and killed 6. We have to do rat patrol in our yard several times a day to make sure that our pets don't get any of the rats. My children have to go out there and walk the perimeter of the yard and check underneath the decks. So I'm going to go back on my script now. It says, we've tried reporting this situation by calling the OCSD and every county agency that we could think of, including the Environmental Health and Animal Control, and nobody could tell us what to do, and nobody really took any interest. Finally, the health department sent me this pamphlet right here, and give this to this gentleman so they can pass it around, which is really not much help. It says to set traps and how to double bag them to dispose of them. We're trying to eradicate the rats, but they are multiplying faster than we can keep up. We have trapped and killed 6 rats and seen more climbing on our rose trellises and going into our neighbors' yards. We've heard rats scratching at night in the rafters of our home. Sorry, I'm just very nervous. We have many small children in our neighborhood, and we're afraid that a child is going to be playing in their yard and either pick up a dead rat or get bitten by one and get some sort of a disease. So I'm sending this letter, which we've passed along, to the board members, Tacken Development Company, county agencies, and the Oceano Advisory Committee to put them on notice of our neighborhood problem. And I was hoping that the Oceano Advisory Committee could put this project back on the agenda to support the request for Tacken Development Company to contract with a pest control company immediately.
Or did you have an extra one of these?
I don't have an extra one. I'm sure I can get one from the
Let's just write the information off the front now.
Okay. I'll get back to you in a minute.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board at this time?
Good evening, President Dahl, members of the board. My name is Mark Wampler, Oceano resident and also a candidate for Oceano District Board Director. My comments have to center around what I consider special interests that have dominated and run our town for at least 2 decades that I am aware of. And like the rat problem that sometimes goes unabated, so special interests left unchecked can do a lot of harm to communities. And actually, special interests can be found in any in all government agencies. It exists. Everywhere government is, you'll find special interests. Just to give an example, over the last 10 years, since 1995 up to last year, approximately $2.1 million of federal taxpayer money was diverted from our town into a special interest, just one special interest project, leaving our streets and alleys in disarray, folks that could desperately need some help with flooding, And such projects like this have gone ignored and neglected. And I would like to see that change. I believe our town needs to commandeer once again our federal tax money so that we could get relief for folks who need relief in flood-prone areas, clean up our streets, our alleys. I would like to see our town move ahead and forward. Special interests cannot be taken care of by just one person or a group of people. It takes the vote of the people. I ask your vote this coming November. Log into my website, mark@ocsd.com. Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board this time?
I'm so sorry about the rats. It's horrible. But I have a great dog I can lend you. My name is Mary Lucy Oceano. I attended a community organization meeting the other day and was informed that they're going to have the Motorcycle Association has sponsored some legislation regarding the 100-year anniversary of the Oceano Dunes. And, you know, others know more about that than I do. But as the organizers, the Motorcycle Association and the Parks and Rec bathroom, just for the flushes and the people who wash their hands, was $250 this month, just to cover the tourist. That's all we use the water for there. And so I asked them very nicely if they would consider putting dumpsters and maybe a couple porta potties on this side of the railroad tracks. And I got a flat no. So if the board would take it upon themselves maybe to write the Department of Parks and Recs and maybe the Motorcycle Association, Friends of the Dunes, whoever the lobbying group is who put on these events, that if they can at least, you know, you can either take your trash with you or accommodate for the trash on this side of the railroad tracks, because it's not happening over here. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't think it's happening on either side of the railroad tracks, Mary, when something like that happens.
Well, you know, somebody's got to be something, because there's a lot of money there.
Would anyone else like to address the board at this time?
My name's Dale Clegg, 1740 Peacock. Until she brought up the rats, I've caught, my cat's caught two or three of them, and these are big rats. I don't know where they're coming from. I just wonder if it's in the alleys and the trash that's up and down the streets and stuff. Or is, like she said, maybe tearing those trees out. But I've never seen rats around. I've only been there 5 years, but there is getting more rats. And on the water thing, my water bill is just sky high. I've shut my water down, you know, and I've got a pretty nice place, but I can't afford the water. And my neighbor, they're building three houses next to her, and they hooked onto her water, and her water bill's over $400. This is a woman that can't afford it. So something's got to be done about these water bills. Didn't Oceano sell some water here a while back? Don't we get a lot of water from Nascimento, or where'd we get all this water we're selling to these other towns?
We haven't.
You haven't sold any water to Grover or anybody, an allotment of water?
Not yet.
Not yet? Are you going to?
We haven't been approached yet.
Well, if you're going to sell any of that water, would you cut the water bills back? Because a lot of people can't afford it. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Better ideas for people? Maybe we can put together a pamphlet on conserving water in your home and maybe xeriscaping in your landscape. There are, Bill, I'm sure, Bill Bookout at the Oceano Nursery can probably put something together for people. It could be on our website, it could be on a pamphlet, it could be on a meeting. But something to tell people what's going on. Everybody is very concerned. Many people on fixed incomes cannot afford to do this. We don't need to take out our landscaping. We need some greenery in this community. So I'd like to see something like that be happening very soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else care to address the board? Okay, hearing none, thank you for your comments. This moves us on to item number four, review and approval of the minutes. Is there any public comment on the minutes?
Yes, I do, President Dahl. Under item 7A, fire item, adopting the National Incident Management System, the minutes record that there was no comment offered. However, I do specifically recall making a comment and basically echoed what Mr. Hill had to say, and that was that we need to really look at questionable items that we don't have full understanding. And it seemed to me that in the best interest of the board to set this item aside so we get further clarification. And, however, was not voted accordingly. So I would like for my comment to reflect that we need to look at future items such as this to make sure that we know what we're getting into as a board so we can make an informed decision. We can't be rushing into decisions because someone throws a paper at us and say, sign it, or the implied impression, or else. Let's not be intimidated by any jurisdiction. Let's very tactfully say we would like to have the time to look over every item to make sure we know what is the score, what the ramifications are before we sign on. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else have any comments on the minutes?
One more thing.
Dale Clegg again. On the rats things, I have what they call a black hole. And it costs $19, but it catches them. And you don't have to touch them.
Thank you. All right. Any other public comment on the minutes? Okay. Any board comment, questions, changes? Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to accept the minutes as corrected.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Anything additional? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, passes 5-0. This takes us on to item number 5, which is closed sessions. We have none. Item number 6 is our reports, and our first report will come from Commander Martin Basti of the Sheriff's Department. Thank you, Commander, for being here.
Thank you for the invitation, President Dahl, members of the board, staff, and public, Martin Basti, Sheriff's Department. A couple of things. The first of the month, or since our last meeting, was fairly quiet. Within the last couple of weeks, some significant crimes in Oceano that we're investigating. One, the convenience store, the Valero was robbed. We had a huge check forgery where we had somebody come in and actually print checks on a business name that were completely fictitious, ran those off, and they cashed about 87 different checks. We had some attempt commercial burglaries and a couple other issues that we're very busy investigating. But overall, the stats don't show that we have a huge crime wave, but that is significant, especially when those are very unusual and rare crimes that come through Oceano. So our staff is working diligently on it. Coming up in a couple of weeks before our next meeting is Halloween. It's on a Tuesday night, which shouldn't be too much of an issue, but we just want to remind the public to please drive carefully, especially on the streets that aren't street lit with the kids running back and forth, so we don't have any. And those of you that are driving places, please slow down, especially as it gets dark. We're coming into the end of daylight savings time, so it will get darker early, which means there's more hours of darkness, which usually increases our patrol activities simply because criminals do have a tendency to work in the darkness. So, other than that, I did mention last month that I was going to introduce our new sergeant, and I'd like to bring Jay up here.
Jay?
Jay Donovan comes from his last assignment was with our Special Problems Unit out of headquarters. He's a 19-year veteran. So on occasion, you may see him.
Welcome. Thank you for coming to our meeting tonight and introducing yourself. And
do you guys have any questions or any comments or anything you need addressed? Good.
Thanks for the good work.
You betcha. We, you know, like I said, this is one of those volatile industries where you really can't program out what kind of things are going to happen, so you have to stay one step ahead. And certainly we have the qualified folks that can do that. But when things happen, what you have to do is dig in and investigate and resolve them so that they don't. And we did make an arrest on the check thing, so we are making some headway on that to get into the root of it. But again, we're finding more and more less violent crimes, less burglaries, and more of the economic crimes, identity thefts, credit card thefts, misuse of credit cards, and things like that as a way of gaining money for, you know, drug habits. So it's just a trend that over the years has changed. Everybody needs to be careful with their personal information. So we have information next door, so if anybody does have or becomes a victim, certainly come by. We have information on how to correct it and how to prevent it as well. Preventing it is the way to do it, though. But thank you very much for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and welcome.
All right. Next are reports from our district department heads. Is there any questions or comments from the board on these reports? Okay. So if we have none, then we'll order those received and filed. And this takes us on to our South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Wastewater Rate Study presentation.
Good evening, President Dahl and members of the board. Thank you for allowing us to provide you with an informational presentation this evening on the sewer rate increase that is being recommended for adoption by the Sanitation District's board on November 29th. Clayton Tuckfield with Tuckfield & Associates will discuss this rate study and the basis for it, and I'll be happy to answer any questions related to the plant. With that, Clayton.
Well, good evening. My name is Clayton Tuckfield with Tuckfield & Associates. Tonight I'd like to make a presentation of the results of a comprehensive wastewater rate study. We have now have a low operating fund balance for the district. District is currently facing increasing O&M costs as well. Energy costs have been increasing, chemical costs, and especially employee benefits have been increasing significantly over the last several years. The district is also having to maintain an aging plan. Most of the facilities are somewhere between 20 to 30 years age, maybe even 40 years in some places. And one more thing, we have to prepare for the future tightening of regulatory requirements. To do that, the district is having to invest in larger capital improvements to provide safety and redundancy for the current facilities. This means we're going to incur debt service approximately $500,000 per year to help finance some of those current projects. So in order to meet those financial challenges, then, the district is going to have to raise their rates. This represents the implementation dates and the following revenue increases that are going to be required to be received by the district. On the first one, January 2007, we would expect a 25% increase in revenue to the district, as well as on May 1st, 2007, and every May thereafter. As you can see, we have a 25%, a 20%, 15, 10, and 10. Now, what this means is we need 25% more money into the district, but that doesn't mean that all rates will increase by 25% across the board. What we did was do a comprehensive analysis of the wastewater flow and strength characteristics of each of the customer classes that the district charges. And by doing that, we end up with these rates that are shown here. Probably of most note would be residential wastewater service rate. The second column shows the existing rate of $78. That's going to be increased to $107.15 in next fiscal year, 06-07, representing a 37% increase. As I said, there are winners and losers as you go down the column for 06-07, and that's because of the initial shakeout by looking at the wastewater characteristics of each one of those classes. As we move to the next year, 07-08, the last column there, you can see that pretty much we're 20% across the board, and we'll be matching up with those other increases that we talked about earlier. This second rounds out the remaining customer classifications of the district, factories, churches, plants, schools, et cetera, down the line. And you can see there are some that increase and some that decrease. Also, this is a comparison showing just for the single family residential rate for the district versus other treatment-only agencies within the state. Now, there are very few other agencies that just provide treatment services only. Most other treatment-only agencies in the state of California. Connection charges will also be increasing. These are the charges you pay when you connect up to the wastewater system. Most worthy of note, obviously, single-family dwelling unit, the first line item. The existing charge, it shows, is $2,000. This will be increasing to $2,475, representing a 24% increase in those charges. These are the one-time only charges. They're only paid by future customers, not by existing users. And most of those charges increased by 24% if you look at the last column. So in summary, then, the district increasing the rates will provide several things. It will help to remove the operating deficit the district is currently operating under, which represents 25% right off the top. It will help to replenish our operating fund balance, which is very low at the moment. It'll allow us to meet our future increases in O&M expense and help us prepare for future regulatory requirements of the district's facilities. So with that, I'm pleased to make this presentation to the district. If there's any questions I can answer, I'd be happy to do so.
Thank you. Does the board have any questions?
Do you know what the fund balance is right now?
I can tell you what the budgeted amounts was, if you give me just a second. It started the fiscal year at
$141,000.
$141,000. That's correct. So as of July 1, 2006.
That's the total funds?
Total fund balance. Total operating fund balance, I'm sorry. The district also has capital fund balances, but you don't use that money to fund O&M expenses. So those only fund for capital expenditures.
Okay.
What pushback has the district done for these increased regulatory requirements?
For regulatory requirements, let me turn it over to the district's engineer.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question, please?
What has the district done to push back against the regulatory requirements that cause the cost to go up?
What we've seen happening is there's a general increase throughout the state with the water boards that are tightening the regulations. In 2004, we had our permit renewed, and the water board was looking at reducing our discharge limitations to 30 milligrams per liter for BOD and suspended solids. We were able to work with them to get it at 40, but we see coming up in the future, the trend is continuing to drop. And Water Board, there's some EPA-driven mandates that drive these numbers down as well based on our method of treatment. So it's a very fine process that we have to work with the regulatory agencies. But we have been pushing back.
Be interesting if the people that make the regulations provide money to pay for them.
Any other questions from the board? Okay, can you you mind taking questions from the public? Sure. Any questions from the public?
Yeah, if they haven't made the regulations yet, why don't you if they haven't made the regulations yet, why are you soaking us before the, it's like everything else. It seems to me like you guys always got your hand out for money, and nothing's broke yet. If it ain't broke, I realize that you have to maintain it later on, but you're going to sock us some money because you think the board's going to lower your expectations on whatever you said a while ago.
Okay. Let me respond to that. There's two components to this rate increase. One is what we're setting here are maximums. You've seen the 25 and 20%. Every year we look at what our fund balance is and what our costs are required for the next year's future projects, so we can adjust the next year's rate increase. It may not be 25%. It could, I wouldn't say for the first year, but in subsequent years, it could be less than those numbers that you see, depending on when we have to do these projects. Part of the problem is, though, it takes several years to actually design and permit and construct these projects. What we don't want to have happen is run into the potential in 2009 or some future date where we don't have the capacity or the ability to treat this water. So when the limitations drop, we're in violation.
We're in violation, there's the fines that come along with those, which are usually fairly steep.
Yes.
And usually continual until the problem is addressed, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Why does it have to be so severe? I mean, you're talking 75% here. What? 10 years? No, 5 years.
Yes. We've been fortunate.
That's pretty steep.
We've been fortunate for the past 20 years, there hasn't been a rate increase. And we've been able to manage the plant really with no rate increase, and we've had a good fund balance. But for example, you know, last year and a half we had to build a $1 million project. We are going to be meeting with the state. We're going to be applying for a state revolving fund loan, which is half of the standard interest rate. So if the interest rate is 5%, we would get an interest rate of 2.5%. But that's also part of the process. It takes several years to put all that into place. So again, we're trying to do the best we can for our constituents, our ratepayers, so that we minimize the increases and give them the most for their dollar.
Are there any grants available for any of this stuff?
There are some Prop 50 grants potentially, but there's also a lot of people applying for those. We have looked for that in the past, and we will look for that in the future.
Okay. Any other public questions?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. I'm sorry, I had to step out of the room. First of all, did you have a handout on your presentation?
We do not.
Okay, because as a taxpayer, I really need a handout.
Understood.
Okay, and secondly is that, how did you come to the conclusion? Did you do any time studies? Did you do any forensic audits? How much money have you spent on studies? So did you look in how you spend your dollar over there to begin with? And secondly is that when somebody brought up the capital money versus the operations money, you came back and mixed it up. So you asked the gentleman not to confuse capital money with operational money, and you came back and you, in your argument, you used the capital funds for the futures, for the penalties, and so on and so on. So that's one. That's several questions to you. Secondly, on your, I love these studies.
Can you give me one at a time? I hope I can answer.
Okay, but also too is that when you gave a comparison on, you know, single cities that use these kind of facilities, right? You compared us to million-dollar tax bases. You did not have any comparison for a population that's comparable to the South County population. I am familiar with Palmdale. Oceano is nothing like Palmdale, nor are we like Sacramento or any of the other comparisons. So that tells me a little bit that your study is biased, because if you can't find a comparable comparison, it doesn't apply.
Part of our dilemma is that most entities will basically treat your water, the potable water, as well as handle your wastewater. We're sort of a rarity in that we only handle wastewater. So the number of entities that we can compare against are very limited.
But you can't use that data, because that data is not reflective of this geographic area.
One of that is based on plant size. You know, we look at it per capita. I mean, you know, if you look at the sizing of a plant, it's per capita. So if you have a tax base of 1 million people, you have a much larger facility. The monthly and the yearly cost to maintain that plant and to upgrade that plant would be significantly higher, basically at that, almost that same factor. You know, here we serve a tax base of, I think, 44,000 people.
Okay, so you're saying Palmdale's facility is the same size as our facility?
I didn't say that.
Oh.
How about San Miguel?
They don't have a water. Well, so.
It just hurts.
So we have the smallest sewer plant in the state?
No, we do not. We have, how should I describe this? If you go to the city of San Luis Obispo, similar size as far as per capita, about 45,000 people that live in San Luis Obispo. When you pay your water and sewer rate, you're paying it to one entity that handles the water and the wastewater. It's hard for us to get that information, what they charge, what they would break out, what the sewer portion of that bill is. That's the problem. We can't compare us against San Luis Obispo because we can't determine what the portion of that, let's say it's a $100 bill, what portion of that is wastewater versus what portion is water. That's our dilemma. We would be happy to compare it against Santa Maria, San Luis, Paso, if we could do apples to apples. And that would be the ideal.
But you got to admit, we're going apples and oranges here on these comparisons.
We're doing the best we can based on, we're trying to compare like oranges to oranges.
Yeah, maybe you should just pull that page out of your study, because it, you know, somebody else is going to get up and ask the same thing.
Okay.
You know, so tell me what formula you used to get to that point.
To get to
that you need to tax us some more. What financial documents did you use?
Well, every year the district develops a budget.
I've seen that report. I've seen that one page, one liner. Yes, I have.
Well, it breaks down to much greater depth as far as, you know, the various chemical costs, operational costs, maintenance costs. And there's probably 150 line items in that budget. And from that, we go through and we look at what we spent last year, how we can save dollars here or there. We also look at potential increases for fuel or other things, and we build those into the budget. I would imagine much the same way.
So you use the forensic audit.
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
Well, I guess we also look at moving forward, if we have to replace a piece of equipment, we may get quotes for that. We may do an engineer's estimate for that. You know, for example, the wastewater treatment plant upgrades, we've gone to Kennedy.
The ambulance, but some of us are going to know that that is not accurate. No, you
got to
do better.
Well, on face value, 24% seems like a lot. If you pull it back as far as the dollar amount, it's about $2.50 a month.
Yeah, but when was the last time the sanitation department had a rate increase from this district?
20 years ago.
I think that you actually, Barbara, brought it to the table for a rate increase.
No, that we were talking about it.
You have to understand, as a very small group of people down here, we have gotten slammed with so many rate increases in the last year. It's unbelievable. From our water, our water has gone up at least 30%. Our taxes have gone up. Everything has gone up. And so that $2, that's not the point. It's all of the raises that we've gotten slammed with, and we're going to get slammed again. And you're basing it on not good comparisons.
I think we've done the best we can based on
the efficiency level. I believe you have done the best you can, but we're not calmed down.
How many people in Oceano is going to pay this tax? Everybody that lives in Oceano, how many are going to get stuck with this tax?
All of us.
If you
flush the toilet, you're going to pay it.
Whether you do or not.
Or the owner of the house is going to pay it.
Thank you for answering my question.
Like she said, it's time to advance this, and the wages are going down.
Sure.
I wish I had a raise in the last 20 years.
Okay, is there any other questions from the public?
Last I checked, I don't believe Oceano has any tax base at all. We're not incorporated. AG and Grover are incorporated. Of course, they do have a tax base. And, sir, the figures you mentioned, are across the board between AG, Grover, and Oceano? Be certain admin costs added to that? Are you apprised to that information?
The increase is across the board. It affects equally a ratepayer in Oceano as it does in Rio Grande, as it does in Grover Beach.
Any other questions?
We are federal money.
We are.
And I'm sure everybody in here would pat you on the back if you did.
Yes. In fact, Clayton and I have been working with...
In fact, I'll loan you a baseball bat.
They may not appreciate that.
We appreciate you getting up and explaining.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else? Gentlemen, thank you for coming, bringing us this information. Is there any public comment on any of the reports that were given so far? All right. This moves us on to item number 7, fire items. 7A is resolution 2006-21. Mr. Cooney?
Turn that over to the fire chief.
Mr. Steinhauser? Chief Steinhauser?
Good evening, everybody. This is resolution 2006-21A. The fire department has inventoried some miscellaneous equipment and has found it to be surplus. And it's my recommendation, with the concurrence of the general manager, that the items on the list be declared surplus to the district needs and disposed of through sales.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, anything from the board? Questions, comments?
My standard question is, would the items to be surplus be made available to people in the community, the ones that have no value, or that they people be given the opportunity to bid on them?
The air packs are obviously need some training to use those, so those will be turned over. They're searching several companies, surplus companies, who sell these secondhand, and I'm not exactly sure where they are in this process. But, that's what they plan to do with the air bottles. But anything else, if you know somebody wants the Xerox Work Center, certainly can have it.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone? Anything else? Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
I would move that we accept OCSD Resolution 2006-21, the resolution of the...
Resolution 2006-22, approval of a volunteer fire assistance grant in the sum of $5,165. Chief Steinhauser.
Yes, the district has been notified of a successful volunteer fire assistance grant application in the sum of $5,165. In anticipation of receiving this grant award, the district included the requisite matching funds for this grant in the 2006-2007 budget document. Also included in the district's budget was $4,504 for wildland and structure firefighting hose, and $376 for a Class D fire extinguisher. Since the hose and the fire extinguisher are included in the grant, the funds budgeted to purchase these items will not be expended. The items be purchased through the grant, and their associated costs are contained on Exhibit A of the attached agreement.
Okay, thank you. Any public comment on this resolution?
Fire items.
Let's comment on the fire items. I noticed on your report that there were 52 calls for the month of September, emergency
okay,
calls.
This is on this resolution only.
Okay, would it be comment on the fire items? When will that be?
You can bring this up either on item number 10 or on item number 13.
Okay.
Okay, any other public comments on resolution 2006-22? Okay, bringing it to the board. Questions, comments? Good job. It's always nice to get money into the district that doesn't have to come from the ratepayers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you for your hard work. I think we've done an excellent job bringing grants into this community. Okay, I'll entertain a motion at this point.
I move that we adopt resolution 2006-22.
Second.
Okay, a motion and second. Roll call vote, please.
Does the motion also include that the president will sign the agreement? Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry, the second was?
Yes. Second was Director Mann.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
President Dunst. This is, again, part of that. This is our continuing disclosure after the earthquake of 2003.
Okay, thank you. Any public comment? Okay, anything from the board? Motion?
Mr. President, I move that we continue the declaration of emergency following the San Simeon earthquake.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay. Were you okay to go on? Anybody need a break now?
No.
Okay. Moving on to item number 9, administrative items. Resolution 2006-23, neighborhood utility pay station. Mr. Cooney?
We've had a request that the Board of Directors consider support for the establishment of neighborhood utility pay station within the community of Oceano. As you're probably well aware, there are a considerable number of people within our community who lack transportation or lack access to transportation. And Oceano, even with our best efforts, does not at this time have a bank within the community of Oceano. So I think it would be to the advantage of the citizens of Oceano if we did have a neighborhood pay station within the community.
Okay, thank you. Any public comment on this item?
First of all, I want to thank you for bringing this item on your agenda. And I have, just very quickly, I'd like to take a moment and pass in, I don't know, just like 100 more signatures. And I also wanted to know if you can give your general manager authority to play with some of the wording on the resolution. I think it's a hardship and it's an access issue more than a convenience issue. And I just think it's, you know, just wordsmithing. So is it possible that we could wordsmith the resolution?
If you want to wordsmith the resolution, it'll have to be withdrawn this evening and brought back.
Oh.
Either way, it's fine with us.
Well, my concern is that the resolution is almost based on convenience. So the wording has to be proper. Secondly, is that whereas a cash-paying utility customer needs the ability to discharge all of their utility bills at one convenient location, will that be the district? No.
Well,
I don't know. That might be your plans.
No, none that
mine.
I'm aware of.
So maybe we could just play with the wording, and that's all it is, you know. And right. I really do appreciate you
would
putting
you like
it on the agenda.
Would you like us to withdraw it and bring it to the next meeting?
If that wouldn't be a hardship.
Okay.
And I'll be happy to come over and, you know.
Does anyone have any objection to withdrawing this and bringing it back to the next meeting?
Not as long as we get it done on the next meeting.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
I'd like to ask a question, if I may.
Sure.
Any other letters that community civic groups might be sending, you want them to say?
If a sample letter, the community has come with a sample letter.
Not convenience, but necessity.
Yeah, you just got to use the right words with these people.
Yeah.
You know.
We'll make sure that they don't say convenience.
Well, you know, they go, I care less about your convenience, is what PG&E told me. So that's all it is. And I could bring a sample letter over to the district, and if other community groups want to write a letter of support, then they can use that sample letter.
If I can have a copy of that.
Okay.
Write
it tomorrow.
Please.
Okay. Any other public comment on this item? Okay. Any objections to withdrawing this and bringing it to the next meeting? Okay, Mr. Cooney, can we do that then?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, this takes us on to item number 9B, Resolution 2006-24, California Space Center. Mr. Cooney?
There is interest in developing the California Space Center to be located outside the main gate of the Vandenberg Air Force Base. It is to be educational, it is to be recreational, and it's tied to the tourism industry of our area. And the people who are putting this together are asking various entities to for letters and resolutions of support so that they can to California the better. No one comes to anywhere just based on a single location. A long time ago, I was working for Walt Disney Corporation, and Magic Mountain was going under, and they sent six of us over to Magic Mountain to make it work. And the reason is Walt Disney said to us, nobody comes to Los Angeles to go to Disneyland. You come to Los Angeles to go to Disneyland, Knott's Berry's Farm, every other location. We don't compete, we support each other. This letter is a letter for support.
Thank you. Any public comment on this item?
Yes, I'm looking at nine whereas. The last one, whereas Vandenberg Air Force Base contributes about $1 billion annually to the state's economy. Now, last I checked, State Beaches, who brings in approximately $11 million, doesn't share a penny of that with our district. We have no sales tax revenue as well. Now, if Vandenberg wants us to support and to be supportive of this project, how about if they just give us just a spec, a microscopic spec of that $1 billion to our district? Okay? We have flooding issues. We have streets and alley issues. This district could use some bucks. Now, what's to, you know, I'm just throwing this out here. Okay, they want our blessing, fine. How about kick in a little bit to help us out? Have you considered that? I would like for this board to consider that right now, before you sign on the dotted line. Let's just don't rush into something. They're getting on what I stated earlier. If something is presented here from a jurisdiction, we just, in my opinion, I don't think we're supposed to just sign it just because it's thrown at our face. Okay, with all due respect, let's look at this. Let's have a bargaining chip. If they want the district's blessing, how about a few bucks? Thanks.
Is there any other public comment? Okay, bring it back to the board. Any questions, comments from the board?
I'd like to entertain a motion to adopt resolution 2006-24, a resolution expressing support for the California Space Center to be located outside the main gate of Vandenberg Air Force Base. I think this is a great thing and enhances our community along with their community and brings people into our communities.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
No CSD resolution calling for the county to help us with mosquito abatement. I've never seen an OCSD resolution calling on TAC and development to step up to the plate and provide extermination for the rat problem that they're having adjacent to their property there, nor to the county to help with that. I've never seen a resolution of OCSD asking on anybody to help us with flood control issues here. I've never seen a resolution of OCSD to call on the county to complete the sidewalks on Holden and Laverne that they had the funding to do and are somehow now backpedaling on that and not wanting to go forward with those important improvements in our community. Those are the kind of things that I think this board needs to have resolutions to support before we do some literally pie in the sky, which is this. And again, I don't have anything against this particular project. I understand the necessity of educational projects, and this might be an excellent project. But I'm going to have to oppose this on just the ground that I believe our board should focus its attention more on immediate concerns of the residents of Oceano, and there's plenty of. And I think our resolutions can be a valuable tool to help correct some of the situations that are long overdue for help here in our own community.
Okay. Anyone else? Well, I know this is going to be something that is going to be oriented quite heavily toward the children and for getting the schools out to be involved in. It's going to look something like or along the lines of what they have at Kennedy, from what I understand, where they can sit and watch view launches and that type of thing. And I'd hate to not support something because something else is not being done somewhere else. I would really wish that we could get a unanimous decision out of this. And if there's a, you know, if there's any other resolutions that I'd like to see come down, deal with those on that issue, you know, on those issues. I think those are excellent, you know, those are excellent things that we can look at in support of what the county can do or would be doing or does, but not to take away from something here that is oriented toward the education of.
And President Dahl.
Yes. Okay, that.
Can we comment a little bit for a second? Or is that appropriate? I kind of like
yeah, sure, go ahead.
Jim had to say, and I mean, there's some other resolutions that we could go forward in the future, and I think maybe we could look at each one of those.
Okay. This takes us on to item number 10, report of district representatives. And I attended the Zone 1-1A meetings, and they're still working on the memorandum of understanding. The county is wanting to go over it with their attorney and other things, and has come up with some things that they want to look at before they go forward. Let's see, the meeting. So they're having some questions as far as the review process and input from the agencies themselves. And they're going to meet, they want their public works staff to meet with other county council and other people within the county. And they had not had a time to do that yet at the time of that last meeting. The things they want to look at is the general language, technical issues of the habitat conservation plan and its status as well. And then also what went on is we talked about the cleaning. They've got the California Conservation Corps in the creeks cleaning from the on both sides of in the creek on both sides of where Highway 1 goes over the creek and down to the 22nd Bridge. So it'd be upstream from the 22nd Bridge. The risk management charges are still a hot topic issue over there. It still looks like they're trying to extract as much money out of this this district or this zone as they can. The last statement that one of the things is that they've treated this not as one claim and one incident, but one incident with numerous claims. So they've using a lot of claims to drive the price of the insurance up. It's still something that's being worked with, and everybody's pretty upset about it. But that's where it's at right at the moment. And I see that there's some questions.
Vern, who is they?
They would be the county, the department of the county that handles the insurance part for the county, the self-insurance.
They're self-funded for their insurance, are they not?
They're self-funded. And what they're doing is they say that they are underfunded right now. They want to build up their reserves, and they want to charge because they're wanting to build them up during a time when the claims happened, during a time when the claims are here on Zone 1-1A, they're hitting Zone 1-1A with heavy insurance charges. And nobody's happy about it. And nobody's sitting still over it either.
Was sitting right there in that end chair when he said that insurance was not going to be charged? Did I dream that?
No. As far as I know, that's what was said. But it's right now that it hasn't. It at this point in time, at least as of the last meeting, that has not happened yet.
I didn't mean to.
I'm very sympathetic to Barbara's comment. I think it's shameful. Shameful that the Board of Supervisors in the county is trying to hold up the people and the residents of Zone 1-1A like that for this insurance. That is a scam, and it's shameful. Shame on the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
Yeah, we've definitely been misled.
I can't remember what meeting it was, whether he was here at this meeting or at the sanitation district meeting, but I know he sat right there and he had some county people.
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of you guys were there, but I do remember it.
County Public Works, and there was a runaround for a long time between County Public Works and the, and I don't remember the, what they call the part of the county that does the insurance.
Risk management.
The risk management, okay. Between County Public Works and Claim.
Yeah. A couple farmers. I mean, it took a lot of, a large area, but I don't know that it was that many people, was it, Mitch?
I don't know the number of claims.
I'm sorry, me too.
Go ahead. You were asked a question. I interrupted.
I'm not aware of what the number of claims were, so I can't answer that question.
Well, I just remember what Taylor's Field and maybe one of the Ikeda's Field and the house across the creek that got flooded to the windows.
I know Bijou Seeds had a
okay, so that's another one. All right.
Yeah, I don't know how many claims there were either, but I know that they're not treating it as one claim. And also the fact that they're trying to make up their reserve for their insurance fund. And there was another reason or two that they're calling for, but nothing that really is quite right. So that's the unfortunate news of what's going on with Zone 11A right now. Then attended the Airport Land Use Commission. And we're still in the process. The new airport land use plan for Oceano is still in public review. It's still working with the citizens of Oceano to come up with something that is going to work for everybody. I think it's coming closer at this point. The commission is budging a little bit from where they stood originally, from the way, you know, from the way it's looking, to figure out another way to calculate the numbers they need in order to for them to stay within their mandate. But it's still in public review and will be probably for at least another couple meetings. What else happened at there? One of the things that was in the airport land use plan was no residences on top of commercial, or wouldn't allow for residents on top of commercial on Pier Avenue on the south side of the road. And that is also something that is there from the Coastal Commission, from what I understand. And so that one's going to may end up being hard to get around. Continuing with the building of the new water treatment plant, they had 4.5 million gallons per day is still being processed, 2 million of state water, and 4 million gallons per day is being released downstream. The lake capacity as of the end of August was at 86.7%, and the revenues from the park up there went from a little over $650,000 to $692,000 for June, July, and August. And the attendance for the summer of 2006 was down from its 2005 figure. 2005 was almost $180,000, and attendance in 2006 was almost $168,000. And I guess you all read from our staff reports that they're going to be cutting back some of the water delivery for a little while they do some changes or some work on the treatment plant, the new treatment plant. And then that's it for my reports. You want to do questions now or you want to go to the end of the reports? Anybody have a preference?
Just do them at the end.
Okay.
Okay.
Vice President Bookout.
Ocean Advisory, September 18th. That was a little while back. It wasn't a very lengthy meeting, but we worked on our bylaws, partnering with state parks. There was a letter we talked about from one of the neighbors here in Oceano regarding taking out part of the house. It was just more or less a informational item. I had a chance to attend the CSDA conference up in Northern California, and it was a very educational conference. I pulled a lot out of it, which I feel will benefit the community down in the future. One of the speakers there was Ralph Heim, and he went again Prop 90, which is most likely going to pass in the assembly. Very, very interesting. I've learned a lot. I'm one of the walked out of there really understanding a lot more, and great book. Everyone wants to take a look at is here to look at. That's it.
Thank you. Director Angelo.
Okay, we had a fire consolidation meeting. There's main topics was the sharing of reserve fire engines between the departments. Right now, there's nothing formalized, nothing is written down, and so they're going to formulate a agreement to where if one of the cities or our district needs an engine borrowed from another city or district, that will be more automatic, and there'll be a procedure to do something like that. Also, they talked about a joint dispatch. They have a guy doing the analyzation of the dispatch, and he hasn't got his final report ready, but it should be here next month. And it sounds like we pretty much have wrapped up the scope of work that's been given to the team. And so that pretty much does it for the consolidation. Fire committee, we talked about the consolidation, and Mike reported that we're up to 592 calls for the month. We do have a house burn schedule coming up where we're going to joint train with CDF and burn down a house. And just a point of interest is we had, I think it was last Saturday, we had 4 fire related calls in one day, which is very unusual. But that was about it, unless Barbara has something to add to it.
No, except the burn run is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, and our fire department will be taking part in it.
Okay, thank you. Director Mann.
The LAFCO meeting was held in September, and this was the final meeting dealing with Las Osas. A citizens group had filed a petition to dissolve the Las Osas Community Service District. After many, many months of listening to it, back and forth, listening to all sides for a lengthy time, it was the decision of the district is bankrupt and they filed for bankruptcy. The second part of the day was that the citizens group that had filed the petition to dissolve them has an outstanding bill to LAFCO for the work that was done, and they were asking for this to be forgotten, forgiven. They didn't think that they should have to pay for it. Again, we did ask them, people to keep their comments to either yes, forgive it, or no, don't. And it went on, and it went on for quite a while. Again, the same thing. We decided not to forgive the bill because, again, that wasn't fair to the rest of the residents of the county, because what would happen if that bill wasn't paid by these people who initiated the action, then those costs would be spread among one-third the county, one-third the cities, and one-third special districts. So we use the same reasoning. Rather than pass this cost on to the rest of the people, we were not going to abolish it. It had seemed to me that we had been very upfront about why we didn't dissolve them because we didn't want the rest of the people to have to take have to pay for it, that it would follow. If you thought about it a minute, then we certainly wouldn't dissolve the bill either, because for the same reason. So that ended that. There is no LAFCO meeting this month. There may be one in November. There isn't one in December. So that's it for LAFCO. And Dave talked about the fire committee meeting.
Okay, thank you. Director Hill?
Nothing on this item.
General Manager Cooney?
Nothing.
Okay, any questions on the reports from district representatives by the board?
Comment, I'm glad to hear in Director Angelo's report of the idea of sharing reserve engines with the various departments. That sounds like a positive step that might benefit everyone, so I'm glad to see that that effort's perhaps bearing some fruit, and also encouraged at the discussion of looking at joint dispatch efforts. Glad to see that hopefully some of these efforts will go.
They're doing their retrofitting, and so that additional line item on our new billing, that money goes to that zone, right?
Yeah, Zone 3 is run by the county. The Board of Supervisors are the ones that make all the decisions on
okay.
Zone 3. And let me, you have a question? Let me finish answering your question, please. Okay, Zone 3, run by the county. Supervisors run that. They make the decisions on that. And that zone is over Lopez Dam, the recreation area behind it, and the water treatment plant that delivers water to Oceano, Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, Avila, and some county areas. And that is where the money that we had to increase the bill for, the extra line item on the bill, goes to that area to pay for those items, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. So our additional increase does go to Zone 3. And you know, I don't know if there's a lot of people in Oceano who actually are brave enough to drink the water, but I know that I have to go get bottled water because, you know, I have a compromised immune system. I can't be messing around with, you know, bad water. And most of the people in town actually go buy their water, too. In fact, I went to get some water here at the district and was stopped and said, oh, no, here, let me get you some other water. So as a director that sits on that board, right, I'd ask you to oversee our 30-plus increase that we're all having to struggle with right now and kind of give us a report on how that money's being spent.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that bottled water you're making?
Yes.
Pamela Dean, Oceano. I have a couple of questions. One is the Zone 3. You reported that the Lopez Water Treatment Plant is still undergoing upgrades. Do they have an update on the additional cost overruns that are going on with that upgrade project?
It's in the middle of the being built. I'm not aware of what of those or if they are, if any, at this point. I can get that information to you later on if you'd like.
That would be good to know, because what I foresee is it's going to come our way again and we'll have another cost increase for our water bills. And then I had a question regarding the September 26th fire meeting, in particular about the three-story ordinance. And my question is, are our firefighters equipped to deal with total equipment to handle that?
We don't own a ladder truck, though.
Yeah. Okay. Then my question is, the county is asking or telling us or showing us subdivisions with three-story buildings in them, and we do have control over the fire, and if we can fight fires against if they are in a three-story building. I'm thinking maybe we shouldn't build any three-story buildings. We could have people that their houses burn down, and we could be liable if we are not able to get to them in time, or if a mutual aid fire department isn't able to get to them in time. I know we have about 80 in our community right now. Maybe we should look at this before we continue to add three-story buildings as part of subdivisions that the county is promoting, and OAC would be reviewing, and the fire department would be reviewing. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other public comment on the report by district representatives?
Yes, regarding fire items. According to this report, if I read this correct, this graph, for the month of September, there were 52 calls, emergency calls or related calls. And out of that 52, one was serviced on the beach, evidently for a hazardous situation. If you recall last year when the state approached, as I understand it, the district for a specialized equipped vehicle to traverse the dunes, that this board approved such a vehicle, paid one-third of the cost, plus insurance, plus upkeep, plus personnel pay. I think this is a waste of time, personally. One call at such an expense. I think if I were sitting on the board right now, I would say, I'd probably approach state beaches and say, hey, guys, this is my version, diplomacy here. Got a nice vehicle over here. It's fully equipped, brand new. And it sits around our yard. It's only had one call. You know, we think it could probably use a better home. How about give us our $25,000 back and plus other related costs? And why don't you take this board ought to look at if this is the kind of service that this emergency vehicle uses, and yet look at the tremendous cost. I think we ought to revisit this and maybe offer the state maybe something that they would be interested in. Okay, thanks.
Any other comments on the reports from district representatives? Okay. Takes us on to item number 11, board member items for discussion. Director Angelo, anything?
No, I don't really have anything right now.
Okay. Director Mann?
Yes. Jim, you mentioned that the funds were withdrawn for Laverne and Holden Street. What funds were those?
I have the letters from Public Works here where they talked about having funds available to do drainage improvement projects and sidewalk curb and gutter improvements on Holden and Laverne.
But did they say in it where those funds were from?
Looks like the state. Urban State Highway Account Funds.
Because I was trying to find out today where they were from. I knew it wasn't CDBG grants.
No.
Urban State, you say?
Urban State Highway Account Funds.
Do you know why they changed their mind?
The only thing that these letters reference is that the price of the project escalated between the time they first considered it and now are apparently considering not doing it.
A definite no on it?
I don't know if this represents a definite no, but it says it was... At this time, we determined the available fund balance was not enough to complete the project as designed.
Okay. Because I was trying to find out today what the funds were, and I couldn't get an answer at county from it. I knew it wasn't CDBGF or CDBG grants because I talked to Tony Navarro. I knew it wasn't that money.
Is this money pulled away from state highways to inner city part, or?
That's, we kind of don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm just, you know, there was supposed to be a prohibitive by the amount of money that was being provided by state money. As I said, this is all county business, so I you know, we never got involved in this at all. I mean, as far as the district, we never received any notification or, you know, because obviously we don't do anything with the streets. The streets and highways in Oceano are maintained by either county or by Caltrans, so they're not...
That wouldn't
they're not giving us notification of these kind of things.
Would that be Caltrans money?
This is coming from the letters that I have were sent out from the County Department of Public Works.
Oh, okay.
But it says urban state highway account funds for projects in the Oceano area, and that would imply to me that it was either state or federal money. It says the original urban state highway account project funding. So I'll get you a copy of these letters.
Okay. Thanks, Jim.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Director Pickup?
No.
Director Hill?
I'm mindful of Commander Vasti's comment that Halloween's coming up. I urge residents, please obey the speed limits, especially we have problems recurring on Paso Robles Street and 22nd. Please slow down. There's a lot of kids out. There'll especially be a lot of kids out on Halloween. Give them a break, as they say. Please just slow it down a little bit in those areas especially. Let's see if we can save a life and not have a tragedy to report. I would like to see the district entertain more resolutions, and I would like to request that the staff consider that we do use the potential power of our resolutions to put some support behind valuable projects in the community. Zone 11A advisory committee and the Zone 11A residents being effectively held up for insurance money, in my view, is unconscionable, and I think that a resolution of support for their efforts and against the idea of collecting this big insurance money off the backs of the people that are their only crime in life is to happen to live downstream is unconscionable, and they're the people that can least afford the imposition. I'd like to see us support that. And we hear reports of West Nile virus in the areas immediately adjacent to our community. It's only a matter of time. Is it going to be this year that we see West Nile here? Is it going to be next year? We need more help abating the mosquitoes. I'd like to see us call on TAC and development, again, to be responsible neighbors. They took down those avocado trees. The rats went scurrying out into the surrounding community. I'd like to see them step up to the plate, hire a proper extermination service, and let's go after the rats. That's an unconscionable public health risk. And their actions of taking out those trees are directly responsible for the rat infestation that we're experiencing. Calling on the county, again, flood control district, to help with the chronic flooding problems that we have here. Casitas Street, the corner of Highway 1, Paso Robles and 13th. It's unconscionable that effort hasn't been made to solve those problems after all these years. And the rainy season once again is coming. Let's call on the county to complete the sidewalks. We have very narrow streets here with either mud or ice plant. On the way to and from the Oceano Elementary School, kids once again are going to have to walk to school in the mud because we can't find some way, even with $200,000+ or more, according to these letters of transportation money, Rice Street, Laverne, Holden, the laterals out from the elementary school at the very least need to have a sidewalk so kids can walk safely and not have to battle cars in the rain. Those are the kind of things that I'd like to see us bring some resolutions to the board so that we can urge the responsible entities to take some action on these longstanding problems. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any public comment on the board member items for discussion?
Pamela Dean Oceano. I'd like to request that we also add another resolution. I put in a request to Dave Flynn at the County Public Works today to put a stop sign at the corner of 19th and Wilmar. We need a stop sign there. It's the only access road to the elementary school and the community center that has no support to my request to Dave Flynn that went in today. Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment on the board member items for discussion? All right. Brings us to the consideration of the warrants.
Mr. President, I have one warrant we need to withdraw for separate consideration because we have one member who needs to recuse himself on that warrant.
Okay.
And that's the warrant drawn in favor of Kirk and Seamus.
Okay. And, all right. Is there any public comment on the warrants? Okay. Bring it back to the board. Any questions, comments on the warrants by the board?
Mr. President, I move that we approve all the warrants except the one for Kirk and Seamus.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I'd further move that we approve the warrant for Kirk and Seamus.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained?
Recused.
Recused. Okay. 4-0. All right, take this to item number 13, public comment. Anyone in the public like to address the board at this time?
Barbara, I've also been in touch with Tony Navarro, and there are no CDBG applications that have been filed with them from this district that I'm aware of that he has informed me of. We know this year $322,000 was allocated for sagging sewer line replacement, and that's to be commended. But I am a little disappointed that no other projects here were targeted and identified that we could have. There's only two more weeks left before application period closes, and I'm a little bit disappointed. And I've been talking about this for the last month or so about CDBG application. And I talked with Mr. Gibson. I did talk with some people up there planning. And however, I wasn't able to get any more information than you did, Barbara, on that. That possibly CDBG funds could back up and be brought in to assist in that project. Those people need some help down there. And so there again, there's a perfectly good CDBG project to look into. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment? Okay. Any written communications?
Yes, the City of Grover Beach is celebrating their 10 years of service of the Grover Beach train station. That'll be November 9th from 3 to 5. We're going to have live music, acknowledgments, light refreshments. That will be November 9th at the Grover Beach train station, their 10-year anniversary.
Okay, thank you.
No.
All right. With that, we are adjourned.
Yeah. Seems like about 5 years.
I heard I brought this from the...